When legendary Irish actor Richard Harris and journalist Joe Jackson first met in 1987, they almost came to blows. But don't worry, before the interview had ended, they'd become firm friends. A big part of that was Harris realised that Jackson wanted to show the public there was far more to the star of classics like Camelot and The Field than the cartoon image of him as a boozing, brawling womaniser. Joe's new book called Richard Harris, Raising Hell and Reaching for Heaven is based on a series of honest interviews he recorded with Harris over a 14-year period toward the end of his life. And Joe Jackson joins us now. Good morning to you, Joe.
How are you? Thank you. I owe you a fortune for that lovely spiel.
You're very welcome. It certainly grabs the attention, Joe. You almost coming to blows and then ending up being friends. It's a real polar opposites there. How did you nearly come to blows?
Well, the point is, I learned later in life, about a year before he died, he told me that he had, or he admitted, he had manipulated the media all his life, and that he had a performance as, believe it or not, Richard Harris, which he presented to journalists. I didn't know that back in 1987, but I'd seen him on the Jonathan Ross TV show, and something said to me, this man is not speaking honestly. He's telling the same fantastically funny 10 stories, but I don't hear anything of an authentic voice. So when I went in to meet him, I said, listen, you said recently the truth can be dull, but I would prefer today if we went for even murky truth rather than colorful lies. And he was eating his breakfast, his muesli's been spoon froze in the air. And he said, did I say that? And I said, no, I said the second half. Does it sound like you? And he said, no, it sounds totally pretentious. You do, not I do. And that was the start of the interview. And then about 20 minutes into it, he really lost his temper, and he's slapping the pages of questions I had in my hand, calling me up, saying, you're a funny guy. You come in here with all these questions for Harris, thinking Harris has the answers. There are no answers. What do you say to that? And if you're upset by the interview, you should go to therapy. So, you know, you do want to smack him more. He wants to smack you at a point like that. But then everything changed about 20 minutes after that. We got totally in tune because he remembered that I'd once written a treatment for a poem called Father and Son, based on my own experience with my dad, and this is part of the Harris book, that was heavily influenced by his album My Boy. And the moment he remembered that, he told me years later, he said, that's when everything changed, because I saw you not as just another journalist, but as a fellow writer, and I think that's when we began to be friends. So that was a great stroke of fate 40 minutes into the first interview. And henceforth, he never dealt me crap. He didn't give me the Richard Harris performance.
Yeah, that seems to be what he appreciated. As I say in the intro, you know, you wanted to show that this was just a performance, but also that image that a lot of people had of him as, you know, as I say, the brawling, boozing womanizer, and that perhaps would maybe take away from the perception of him as a great actor, that he appreciated that you wanted to show the many facets of Richard Harris.
Yeah, but let's not deny that he was all those other things.
Oh, he was, yeah.
You know, let's not deny the boozing and the brawling and the womanizing and whatever else. And we do obviously go into that in the book. And in the recent film, The Ghost of Richard Harris, which it's on Sky Arts at the moment, my tapes are used to voice the ghost. But they prefer not to. They're presenting, Adrian Civilly, the director, is presenting the ghost of Richard Harris basically to his three sons to reconnect him with his family at that level. But I was going more for the soul of Richard Harris. So whereas in the film, Richard is allowed to say, I drank because I loved it and I wasn't running from anything. When Richard talked to me over the years, I found out he was running. He was running from what he admitted was his impending sense of doom and death. And that went back to when he was 15 and his sister Audrey died from cancer. And he said to me, a year before he died, he said, from that day, Joe, I had a terror of going down, even stepping into the family, the Harris family tomb in Limerick, and this dread of going under the earth. So when my mother and father died, I hid behind a tree. So if you take that idea of him hiding from that realization of death into the world of drugs and womanizing and drinking, you get a better handle on what was driving him. And they were the kind of issues I loved to discuss with him, and he loved to discuss with me.
We were
soul searchers, similarly pretentious soul searchers, you could say. But he loved that, you know.
Putting together this book can't have been easy. You've 14 years of taped interviews to choose from, and it must have been hard to decide what to put in and what to leave out. Having the support of Richard Harris's family, obviously, a big bonus as well. How did you approach putting the book together?
Well, as much as the family were with me, but Richard apparently had said in his will that he didn't want an authorized biography ever done. So even though he had appointed me to become his official biographer in 89, this book isn't, it's not, as the film was kind of run by the sons and run by the estate and very much overseen. This book wasn't seen by anybody, officially before I published it. So they are backing me, but it's not and there may be some stuff in the book that the family don't like presented. For example, I interview Noel Harris, Richard's only remaining sibling, and Noel denies a lot of the stories that Richard told about his family growing up, and that Noel says hurt Noel deeply through the years, such as claiming that his mother and father, it was an arranged marriage and they didn't really love each other. So I was kind of going for, well, where are the parts in the book that aren't just the superficial stories he was telling, and this is what was really going on underneath. But it was immensely difficult, and there were a lot of things I left out that I'm kind of going, maybe I shouldn't have cut that. But look, I went, the publishers allowed me to go. First, they wanted 75,000 words, and the book comes in at 125,000. So I think if I'd offered them another chapter, they would have shot me.
Certainly gave them value for money. Just to finish, what do you think? You know, we've been talking about the image of him as, the womanizing, the brawling, the boozing, but then I mentioned some of the fantastic films he was in. What do you think is Richard Harris's overall legacy is? Is it all of those things, or some more of those things more than others?
Well, you got it right at the start when you're phrasing the question, the suggestion that a lot of his acting, and let's not forget his Grammy Award-winning albums. He made 7 albums. He won Grammys for his albums. He published a book of hardback poetry. A lot of that has been lost over the years because you go to YouTube, all people want to see are clips of him on TV shows telling 10 stories about being drunk. So unfortunately, the magnificence of his performance in The Sporting Life, which is astounding, in The Field, in Gladiator, in My Kingdom, which was one of his later films that not many people have seen, is overlooked. As is his, he was Ireland's first global pop star. People forget that. In 1968, he had a number one all over the world with MacArthur Park. He was nominated for a Grammy for the album A Tramp Shining. He won a Grammy for Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He did The Prophet. You know, so there's tons of stuff about Harris that has been lost because people are focusing on the superficial image of him. So part of the incentive for me to do the book was looking at people and saying, look, come over here, let's look at this aspect of Richard's life. Mm. And also it's my own story. Now, some people might not like, and I had to think a long time before putting in what it was about me that made me probe him so deeply, and why we'd say my boy influenced my father and I so heavily. So that weaves its way in and out of the story too.
Okay, well,
so it's part memoir. It's part memoir as well as biography. I'm still not sure if that choice was the right thing.
Well, it's definitely well worth reading, and I recommend it, particularly coming into Christmas as an ideal present under the tree. The book is called Richard Harris: Raising Hell and Reaching for Heaven. The author is Joe Jackson. Joe, congratulations on the book, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Where do I send the money? Little brown envelope.
You can send it directly. Alan Morrissey, Cara Clare FM.
Alan, it's under your tree.
Thank you very much, Joe. If only every guest gave me a Christmas present, I'd be well sorted. Anyway, it is 0818 400 964 to call us, or you can text or WhatsApp us on 086 1800 964.